Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. I'm Robert Aaron Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom Radio, and tonight my guest is Catherine Samuelson. Catherine is a highly attuned intuitive, channels your personal angels and guides. Your angels and guides are uniquely suited to answer your questions and address your concerns. Catherine is also an effective and motivational life coach, and we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. And she welcomes all clients but specializing in helping those who are undergoing a transition in their lives, whether it's a move, a career change, or a loss of some type. Miss Catherine is the co-creator, along with Linda Lewis, of Opening the Heart Meditations, How to Be, a book of exquisite meditation images and accompanying text. Catherine's unique combination of skills and training and compassion allow her to ask questions that need to be asked and to provide the support and guidance her clients are seeking to expand through life. And without any further ado, I'm going to welcome Catherine to the show. Welcome, Catherine.
Hi, Robert. Thank you for letting me be on your show again. I'm glad that you've started to do it again.
Yeah, me too. I actually got to be honest with you, I enjoy it more now than I did, and I really enjoyed it then. And I'm going to give you Catherine's website right now. It's CatherineSamuelson.com, and I'm looking at it right now. And the top has a blue, but it's Open Your Heart, Blossom in the World. Tell people how opening your heart allows you to blossom in the world. Catherine, please.
Well, because as I think Tina Turner in her album Beyond says, you know, when you move beyond the fear, beyond the need for revenge or beyond whatever, that stuff holds you back. And when you move out of the fear base and out of the ego base and you move into the heart and you let your heart open up, it allows you to move forward and out into the world. You know, your deepest dreams are in your heart. You know, that's where wisdom is. I think it was the Egyptians who said that mind or wisdom actually resides in the heart and not in the brain, which I think is very interesting, don't you, Robert?
I think that's also very true. Because something that you and I was talking about before the show, when the heart opens, the fear leaves. Do you feel that?
Yes. And that's really, again, fear holds you back. Fear creates greed. It creates anger. It creates a sense of disconnection and, you know, an otherness rather than the fact that we're all really connected. Barbara Brown Taylor, who is a theologian and she teaches in a seminary, I think, in Georgia now, and she has a number of books, one of which is called Altering the World. She talks about the luminous web that holds everything together. And I keep talking about that metaphor because if you think about yourself as a node point in, you know, where the interstitials, however you say that word, you know, interstitial space of this web and the energy, and I sort of sometimes see the, or feel the energy just moving along that web that connects us. But when we live from the ego and fear, we cannot see that, cannot feel it, if that makes sense to you, Robert.
It makes total sense to me because something I've really expanded into, and I wrote a little while ago, I am my son, S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the center of our own lives, and we are the son of our lives and was everything. But, you know, I'm on your website, and when you open up the heart, you engage, I call it the divine spine connection, because you're open to the intuition of yourself. Do you feel that?
Yes, yes, indeed. And you were talking about I am my own son. It made me think, I think it's the Indians of the Copper Canyon in Mexico talk about, the divine is the great central sun of the universe. Isn't that a wonderful image?
Yes. But I want to talk about your meditations, Open the Heart on How to Be, that you wrote. How does meditation actually relax not only the mind, but you also relax in your emotions and your feelings? And that is where life is expanded, is in the emotions and the feelings that engage the brain to expand. Do you feel that?
Yes. Because, I mean, even just on the physical level, sitting and meditating and breathing, it calms you down. And as you meditate, you can connect to your heart. You can connect to your higher self, your deepest self, you know. And a lot of that deep self resides, I think, in your heart center, you know, because it's your physical heart. It's your heart chakra. So there's a lot going on in the heart center. It can be a very healing space. I once did a meditation, and it became one of the exercises in the book, where I just went into meditation and I saw a heart, you know, not the physical heart shape, but the one that we draw for Valentine's cards. And it was like there was a door in it, and it opened up, and there was this field of wildflowers inside that heart that I saw. And so when you meditate and you ask your heart what its dreams are, what it wants, what its story is, you can gain some true wisdom by doing that. It might not happen the first time you sit down and do it. It might not happen every time because, you know, meditation is like anything else in life. Sometimes it really flows and sometimes not so much. I can tell a difference in myself just from having created the book, from working with the book, from meditating, you know, as much calmer than I was when I was younger, which I think is a good thing.
Me too. I like that. But anyway, I'm on your services, but you got something in there, channeled angel reading and life coaching. How do they kind of go hand in hand to expand your client?
The channeled angel readings, I use a method called automatic writing, and the angels and guides take over, and they write, literally write, and that's how I know what their guidance is. But sometimes I will stop and say, because I used to practice law, so I get, you know, I get a little life coachy during the channeled angel readings, and, you know, occasionally in a reading, the legal experience will come through, and I'll say, I'm not acting as your lawyer, but, you know, maybe you should go see a lawyer and ask these questions. Occasionally, I think just working in that intuitive world in the life coaching, suddenly an idea will come to me that helps the client. I give what I call homework. I know that's probably a fraught word for many people from school. But life coaching only works as well as you for the amount of effort that you put into it. So they do kind of bleed in together, and a lot of it is helping give people a new perspective and finding ways to think about things differently. Sort of sometimes when you make art and it doesn't seem right, say you're doing a multimedia piece, collaging and watercolor or something, it doesn't look right, and you turn the paper, and then it becomes right. So it's changing that perspective.
And that is, if somebody wants to ask Catherine a question, the call-in number is 646-787-8196. And I'm on the page of opening the heart meditations, but don't you feel when you're doing a heart meditation, it goes out into the root chakra and into the whole internal, and everything rises from the internal to the external?
Yes. The heart can really be a gateway, and you can really bring in the healing through that, because it's really just as we're all connected, you know, through the luminous web. I mean, we are a system. So, of course, your heart chakra, you know, all your chakras are connected, and hopefully through the meditation, you're opening up that energy, you're opening up those pathways, so that you're moving out any stuck energy.
I'm on your website on the books, and there's one thing I want to really ask you about. Build
okay.
a new relationship with yourself. how isn't that what life coaching is? It's about building a relationship with the self.
Yeah, because a lot of the work I find with clients is helping them change their story, helping them change their language. I mean, we're all prone to it. I've been prone to it, and I'm much better, you know, like, boy, what I did, that was really stupid, and I'm always stupid, and I always get things wrong. It's like, stop, you know, that can't be, you know, and getting people to see how, you know, like celebrating the good things. You know, like, oh, God, I can't always, you know, I never get everything done. Like, well, you know, celebrate the things you did get done. That kind of thing. Don't you find that true, Robert?
Yeah, but how the things you didn't get, how were they the things you weren't supposed to do?
I'm sorry, what?
You know, that's kind of the, when you don't get something done, how is that something you weren't supposed to do at that time?
Yeah, it just, you know, maybe it just wasn't it's not the right time for it or other things, you know. I try to get through to life coaching clients that, you know, we have a plan, but life intervenes. So there, you know, so you may have these steps that you're taking towards a goal, but something crops up that needs to be taken care of. So priorities shift, you know, it's like things happen.
And life gets in the way of life. It's a simple thing.
Yes, it does. Yes,
it
does.
And it does that on purpose. But, you know, here's something that I've really expanded into. I'll get your inspirations of this. You know, we've never, ever made a mistake in life. We just found a better pathway to finish and move on in our life. How do you feel about that?
Things don't go as well as we plan, but if we look at it as a learning experience, you know, how do you know what a success is if you have something that hasn't been a success, I suppose, to use the word failure. But is failure really a failure if you learn something from it? I don't think so. And we're not meant to be perfect at everything. I used to ride a commuter rail in the Chicagoland when I lived there, and one of the women I rode the train with, we talked about making boo-boos and knitting and things, and she would say, only Allah is perfect. Only God is perfect. So if we give ourselves a break and say, I've done my best, you know, I've learned my lesson, and move on from it and move on to the next thing, I think, you know, that could be counted as a success.
It is. Always life, you know, that's the thing. But what do we focus on? We focus on what went wrong rather than the wisdom of the situation. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, okay, this didn't go the way I wanted it to, but what did I learn from it? That's what we should be doing. And then we just hold on to all this stuff. And it, again, going back to the ego and fear and, you know, not being, you know, fear of not being good enough. Well, if we realize that one of the meditations in the book is, in the eyes of the universe, at this moment, you are perfect for who you are. So
that's right. Go ahead.
But on the other hand, its companion talks about, you know, don't be static, grow and change. So as I say to clients, if you're having a snit, then you're the you're a perfect person having a snit.
Yeah. I mean, we are an imperfect. We're imperfect to be perfect for the journey.
I like that.
Yeah, and
you should write something about
life. I do have an article I wrote. I'm imperfect. I'm imperfect, but yet perfect for my life.
I like that.
And see, that's a, and see that. And see that, don't you think we've been taught everything has to be perfect is the reason the world and people stay in their comfort zone?
It could very well be. That's a really interesting thought. That's really an interesting perspective there.
And that is something I really expanded into. And how and something in your life coaching, and do you feel people live their parents' life even though they're trying not to?
I don't know that I've ever thought about that question. But seeing as we learn from our parents, and whether we're reacting against things we didn't like or taking on things that we did like, you know, how, you know, common is it to hear somebody say, I didn't think I'd ever hear myself say what my parents said, you know, in relation to the kids, you know?
And you know that
they are our teachers. So,
and you know something I've really expanded into: how the school system teaches to be followers.
Yeah, our school system doesn't. You know, I think there are places it's changing. You know, because you read stories about it, but you know, it's there's not a lot of critical thinking teaching going on as far as like. Can tell, you know, but you know, you hear about different places that that's maybe changing, but I also think that people need to search out different types of news and different kinds of stories. Because of the overall story in our culture, it's all fear, you know, so much fear-based, and it's always bad news on the news. So I subscribe to something called The Optimist and their daily newsletter. It's theoptimist.com, and it's like stories of things that are good that are happening. So I think that's one way we can feed our hearts and change our stories is to search
yes.
out that kind of news.
And I'm on Catherine's website. It's KatherineSamuelson.com. It's KatherineSamuelson.com. And I'm looking at your book, Opening the Heart, Meditations on How to Be. If somebody chose to buy the book, how do you feel that would expand their life and open their heart?
Well, through all the ways that meditation does, but opening the heart's a bit unique because it's paired meditation images. So, for example, meditation number one is breathe deeply, breathe slowly. You can breathe through, you know, you can breathe through anything. Meditation number two is action is the counterpart to breath, be in the world. So you can work with both of them or one at a time by putting a piece of paper over, you know, if you have the paperback because it's also an ebook, a piece of paper over the one you're choosing not to work with. But it's based on, as my book designer and I called it, seeming dualities. You know, because we live in what has been defined as such a black and white world, and things often aren't either or, but they're both. So the book can help you learn in some ways to navigate between or work with these seeming dualities at once. Another one of the pairs is there is no edge between you and the universe, and its companion is there is an edge between you and the universe. So it's kind of contemplating these different concepts and what they mean to you and what all that triggers in you. And so as a method to go deep in your heart, and the book also has some exercises in it that you can use, or you can meditate on an image, you can pick a number or pick a pair or do an exercise in the back. But it's also an e-book, and I don't have an e-reader, but my sense is I think that the images would be really stunning in an e-book.
And now the ebook and all this stuff, and it's available at Dog Ear Press, Amazon, Barnes & Noble Online, Star Philosophy, and Avalonia in Rockport, Massachusetts, and Norwich Bookstore, Norwich, Vermont, Artful Heart Gallery, Arlington, Massachusetts, the Vermont Herbal General, West Rutland, Vermont, and Pyramid Holistic Wellness Center in Rutland, Vermont. And also, Catherine, you're available for speeches and many other things, are you not?
I've sort of slowed down for winter season.
That makes sense to
me. Huh?
That makes sense to me.
But, you know, if somebody wants to contact me, we can discuss it.
Why don't you tell them how to get a hold of you so you give out the information you want out there, not what I put out there.
Okay, my email address is klsamuelson@yahoo.com and 781-799-7332 is my cell phone, and I'm on Facebook and on LinkedIn, and of course the website. And I also now have a blog called Musings Poetry and Such, and it's musings-poetry-such.blogspot.com.
And also, is that available somewhere on your website here where I can find it?
Yeah, if you go to the sidebar on any page,
yes,
and just scroll down a bit, it says please visit my blog, and I have a link.
Okay. And so you can get that. And here's something, Catherine, that we've been talking about, but do you feel the body leads the mind?
You ask such interesting questions that I'm not sure that I've thought about. It is so intertwined, the body and the mind and the soul. I think it might depend on the individual. I mean, at a certain level, the body does lead because you have to feed it. You need sleep. If you injure yourself, you're in pain. That can drive what happens in your mind. And they're finding more and more that so much is centered in your colon, in your digestive system. If that is off, all sorts of things will be off. There's actually lots of brain cells in your gut. Did you know that, Robert?
I didn't know about the brain cells, but I'll tell you the thing about the gut. When it tells you to do something and it comes in strong, you're going to win every time.
Right. And actually, they thought serotonin was produced in the brain. I think I read recently that it's actually produced in your gut. So it's very interesting.
You know, for me, and what I've expanded into, the brain powered by the gut and the body and the heart and the soul and all that, and it'll follow the thinking mind. But when the gut and stuff become more empowered and you listen to it more, the brain follows that. Do you feel that? Did that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, how many times have any of us been really anxious about a decision, and then you know you've made the right decision because you're anxiety goes away, your gut calms down, you know, you start to breathe better, you know, your breathing slows down, calms down, and it just, like, the feeling just floods through you, I made the right decision. Have you experienced that?
Yes. And, you know, when you make a choice between from the gut, you never have a second thought. Do you feel that?
Yeah, when you when you're really in tune. And going back again, meditation can help you do that. Sometimes if you just let the question go and go into meditation and you can come out of it, or you can ask for a dream that will give you the answer. Sometimes I tell clients to flip a mental coin, you know, or flip a coin, you know, and don't even look at it. Sometimes you just know whether you want it to be tails or heads.
Yes.
Which
and
I think,
you know, I was working with a guy down in Arizona, and that's how he made every choice. He flipped a coin. And whatever had come out, he just did. You know, he's right more often than anything else.
Right. But I think it's an interesting experiment to do sort of the mental, you know, like flip it and see where you decide you really want it to be.
And that's very true. And, you know, but for me, I'm really starting to understand that it is the gut and the heart. The wisdom actually comes from inner, and if I get out of the thinking mind and get into the wisdom of myself, I expand through life. And that's what I'm really starting to understand and expand into. But open your heart and blossom in the world. That is what people, how do people fear blossoming in the world, do you feel?
I think there could be for a number of reasons, but you could fear that people will laugh at you. You could fear that you will fail at whatever it is, you know, when you're blossoming. Anything like that, you know, the fear can hold you back. You fear, you know, you won't be good enough. You'll be ridiculed again, you know. You'll feel that you'll fail, or someone won't approve of you. I suppose those are kind of variations on the same thing.
But how is the one about people won't approve of you or people will ridicule you the biggest fear people have?
I suppose because, again, going back to the idea that we need to be perfect.
And you're trying to
possibly
look perfect in other people's eyes, do you feel?
I suppose so. It just, because of, you know, because it could be so different for each person, I'm not sure that I can really name it. I'm having a little, you know, because it's so individualized where it's coming from or why it's coming.
Yeah, and you know, the thing, it is, it's individualized, but there's a very variation of all that, do you feel?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and also, I'm on Catherine's website, CatherineSamuelson.com. It's CatherineSamuelson.com. And she's an author of a book, Opening the Heart, on how to be, and you can get it on Amazon. And also, Catherine, let's give out your information before the show runs out.
Okay. It's klsamuelson@yahoo.com, and my cell phone is 781-799-7332. Again, I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn, and I don't have those addresses off the top of my head, but they're...
Go ahead.
I don't know if there are a lot of Catherine Samuelsons on either of those sites with the name spelled the way mine is spelled.
Yeah, and see, here's the thing. You can get on there, and you can just punch in her name, and she'll be the one from Vermont. Anyway, Catherine, I really want to thank you for being here, and we'll have you on again. How's that?
Great, and you have a great rest of the evening and a good holiday season, Robert.
And Merry Christmas to you, and you celebrate it anyway. And I can't believe how fast this year went.
It did zip by, didn't it?
It did for me. I don't know what it did for anybody else. So anyway, I'm going to say good night, and thank you, Catherine.
Well, good night, and thank you.